Hello, sailors. This is Captain Frank Mummert with the Maryland School of Sailing and Seamanship. I have to actually apologize a little bit. I've gotten out of rotation. We've got a lot of things going on here at Maryland School right now, and we're trying to figure a bunch of stuff out. And I got kind of off track. So I apologize for that, and I hope to get back on track very, very soon. We will be doing a chat at the beginning of August, and we'll be putting that out both on our YouTube channel and on our this podcast channel. So look forward to that. Right now, we're talking about doing something on traveling up and down the ICW, because we know that's coming up for a lot of people, particularly in the fall. So we're hoping that some of our insights on that might be helpful. But today, I want to talk about radar. Now, one of the things I've been doing here recently is the American Sailing Association has a radar endorsement course that they've been doing for years. In fact, I've been certified to teach that for almost 12 years now. But we never have because we really didn't feel like we had the process in place to teach it well. We wanted to make sure, we always want to make sure that our classes kind of set the standard for what people are looking for. And we really wanted to make sure that this class was going to be something worthwhile. So I'm working on putting something together for 2026. It'll come in after our 105 and 107 classes. So it'll be where the 105 and the 107 are now going to run 5 days in a row, Saturday mornings, and you'll be able to be in that class. But if you miss a Saturday, we're recording it through Zoom, and so you'll be able to catch up with it and stay on track. It's a process we have not been able to do in the past, so we're really kind of excited by this. But we're actually adding this radar class after that. It'll be 3 or 4 weekends, I'm not sure what yet, after the week of the last 107 class. So in doing this and setting this up, I've been doing a lot of research. Now, like I said, I've been qualified to teach this for at least 10 years. And more importantly, I've been using radar since the early 90s. I was actually trained to use radar by the Navy during a rather odd period in my life where I was in between things. So the Navy gave me the opportunity to ride on yard patrol craft up in Newport, and I spent time learning how to use radar, particularly in collision avoidance in formation sailing with other vessels. And since then, I have used radar on my own boat for, we were on board almost 20 years, and I've been using radar as part of the 106 and 108 classes here when we use Navigator. So I have I think I have a lot of experience with radar, and but I still, I wanted to go back and review the basics and see what's in the material that the ASA is providing. Now, I will say that the book that the ASA provides, David Birch's Radar for Mariners, is an excellent book. It really is. And it is a lot of information. It's, if you want to take a deep dive into it, it's really a good source. There are other sources. There are other books out there. And the thing about the radar is I've been saying for years that if you, the inland rules of the road say that if you have radar on your boat, if it's fitted and operational, you must use it. It's not a, well, I, you know, it was there, but I didn't think it. If you're not using radar on your boat, if it's not one of your tools, then you're violating the rules. And the bigger issue with that is that if something happens, if you get into trouble, if there's some sort of collision or elision or whatever you want to do, and you get questioned by the Coast Guard about your use of radar and you weren't using it, you're going to be in trouble. But the issue for me with that is that if you have the radar on board the boat and you get into trouble and there is a problem, the fact that you had it on, the fact that you were using it, is not going to be the point that they're going to circle back to. It's where were you trained? How did you know how to use it? And if your response to that question is, well, I just kind of figured it out on my own, you're going to be talking in more depth with the nice Coast Guard people. Because if you have radar and you have a problem and you're statement is, I figured it out on my own. The basic assumption is going to be you didn't figure it out very well, because if you'd figured it out better, you wouldn't have this issue. Which is one of the reasons why I've always said that the radar class is important, because if nothing else, it gives you something to point to. I took this radar class at this point, and that's where I learned to do this. Now, you can still get into trouble because, hey, you know, I didn't do it right, or I wasn't doing what I was taught. But at least you've got something to go back to and say, I was taught this way. So that's why I've always felt that it would be important to have a radar class. It's because I think people get radar and they poke around in radar and maybe they read the manual for their radar unit. But if they don't really understand what's going on, and I have sailed with a lot of guys who've had radar on their boats, and when we go out for a 108 or a 106, it becomes really obvious that they don't really know what's happening. Particularly now, because in a lot of the radars on Navigator, radar on Rockhopper, my own boat, back when I had my own boat, and other radars that I've seen on other people's boats, it's integrated. It's integrated with the AIS system, automatic identification system. It's integrated with the chart plotter. And because of that, people are making assumptions about information based on material that's being provided, information that's being provided by the AIS system or by the chart plotter, instead of by the radar. Yeah, I got the radar screen on. What does it mean? I don't know. I can see that AIS hit right there, so I'm just paying attention to the AIS hit. That is not what the rules say. The rules don't say radar or other systems that you might happen to have. Now, every system you have on board that is part of your navigation process is important, but radar is specifically called out in the rules. Okay? So a lot of people treat radar as just another screen that they're watching. And I think that's a problem. So again, I've been doing research on radar so I can get this class set up so I can give you the best information. Like I said, David Birch's book is excellent, but there's a lot of meat in there. And I think that it can be really overwhelming for people to try and get through that book and then retain all that information and still go out and operate. So when I started doing this research, I'm looking at the stuff that's there and going, what do I think is most important to somebody so that they can get the best use out of the radar? One of the things that comes to me. Now, I will tell you that on Navigator, our radar unit and our chart plotter are both down below at the nav station. The helmsman has no access to that information. It has to be relayed to them by the rover. And I think that's the best way to do that in a situation where you have a large enough crew to make this work. On Rockhopper, because there were only three of us on board, myself, my wife, and the autopilot, and the autopilot did most of the steering, but we always had somebody in the cockpit keeping an eye on things. On our boat, we had a chart plotter and we had a radar readout at the nav station or at the helm station. Now, that is not really the best idea, but for what we had, that was the most workable solution. But I also had down below at my nav station, I had a laptop PC that was tied into the radar information. It had its own chart plotter software running, so I could check that stuff down below. And that's important to this discussion. Because the thing about radar is you have to use it systematically. You have to use it as part of a process for navigation and for collision avoidance. You can't just turn it on and go, oh, yep, see, there it is. There's another boat out there. Look at that. And a lot of times you have to actually keep notes about what you're seeing. And by saying keeping notes, I don't necessarily mean in a logbook. There is a visual plotting tool that I'm going to talk a lot about. It'll be at least 2 days worth of information in the radar course. That is how you track the information over time in order to create an assessment of the track of another vessel or the track of many other vessels, and provide that information in such a way that you can make assessments as to what you should do. Should you turn? Should you stay straight? Should you slow down? Should you speed up? All of that information is part of the navigation and collision avoidance operations while you're underway. Well, the problem with having that radar screen up there at the helm station is that it's very difficult to do that kind of work at the helm. It's much, much better to do that kind of work at the nav station, both because it's going to stay drier. You're going to be able to keep your papers and your notes dry, but also because you need a flat area to be able to keep your notes straight. Tom, in discussing the celestial navigation, talks about having a flat board that he used as a lap board to do his calculations on when he was doing celestial running fixes. And the idea was that he could do it in the cockpit while still being on watch. And even Tom doesn't do that anymore. We keep all that information down at the nav table, mostly because that's where you can do the paperwork associated with this with the least amount of problems to you. Now, corollary to this, doing all of this stuff does not mean constantly watching the radar screen. It means checking the radar screen on a regular basis, usually every 3 minutes or every 6 minutes, and keeping track of what's going on. And this is part of the problem with most radar units today. Most radar units have what's called mini ARPA, A-R-P-A, which does a lot of this analysis for you. Now, ARPA itself, automatic radar position something, I'm drawing a blank on it right now. ARPA is an actual standard that has been set by the International Maritime Organization, IMO, and it's a very, very rigorous set of standards that professional radar units are going to be able to manage. Most commercially available for recreational marine installations, most of those radar units have what's called mini ARPA. And the reason it's called mini ARPA is because it doesn't hit those standards. It's kind of sort of doing that stuff. It's getting close, but it's not doing everything, and it may not be doing everything as well as a real ARPA unit. So taking that information that the mini ARPA is generating and putting it on paper so that you have, A, you have your own assessment of it, and B, if something happens, you can still keep track of it. That's an important side of this, is that actually you want to have some way to protect yourself from a problem with the radar. The other thing about radar is when things change, they disappear sometimes. And if you were tracking ARPA and all of a sudden your target disappears for some reason, goes into a cloud or gets too close or gets too far away, whatever, you can lose all of that data because it was not in the system permanently. Where if you're tracking it on your own position indicating form, your own position indicating drawings, you will have that data whether or not the radar is still working, whether or not the radar image is still there. A lot of the ARPA or mini ARPA information is also coming in with the AIS information. And people say, well, I got the AIS information. Why should I worry about this other ARPA stuff? Well, the ARPA stuff is tracking things that aren't sending AIS signals. And even if the U.S. federal government came out tomorrow and said, hey, every boat out there has got to have AIS, which I pretty much guarantee you is not going to happen, there's still going to be things out there that you're going to want to track, that you're going to want to know what their path is, where they're going to end up, that are not AIS units. You got a boat that's floating out there that is not alive. It's a derelict. If you've got a buoy, if you've got something floating in the water, the radar can pick it up, where the AIS cannot. This is why you're using the radar, because radar is completely controlled from your boat. AIS is completely controlled from the other boat. The other boat has to send a signal in order for your boat to pick it up. Radar does not need to do that. Radar is only on your boat. It sends out a signal, it receives a signal. So the primary use of radar is for collision avoidance, both between boats that might be in trouble and between boats that are buddy boating. Back when I was getting trained in the Navy, one of our big things was being able to maintain distances between boats within a certain band, so that the boats were never more than this far apart, but never more than this close together. And you could tell what other boats were doing because you could see how they maneuver on the screen. The other issue with David Birch's book, and again, this is not a negative. I think the guy did a really good book, but his book is about the most recent revision is about 10 years out of date. And if you look back at where your smartphone was 10 years ago, you look back at where your computer was 10 years, if you still have a computer, look back at where your computer was or your television was 10 years ago, you know there's been a lot of changes in the functionality, in the quality of stuff, electronic stuff. And so some of the stuff in the Birch book is related to things that no longer exist or things that have a different way. That the Birch book is very much related to standalone radar units that might be able to take an input from another system. Most of the radar systems today are the screen is part of the multifunction display, and you can bring up the radar screen, or you can interface the radar screen with the chart plotter. You can interface the radar screen with other information. You can put two different radar views on the screen at the same time, and none of that was possible back when this material was first coming out. So that's the kind of stuff that we're looking at for this new class. So what's the current state of the art for these systems, and yet how do we most effectively teach the underlying information, how you can track the track your navigation, track your plotting, control the relationship between the radar and your nav plot and all of that stuff in a way that takes advantage of the newest technology, but still doesn't take you too far down that pathway. We have always said that electronics are going to fail. You need to be able to go back to basic seamanship. All it takes is a lightning strike to knock out all your electronics, and you better have some way of backing that up. So that's what I'm looking at for this period. Yes, I'm reading a lot about radar, and quite frankly, I have some engineering background. I have some business background, but this is sometimes as thick as soup. It is not as much fun as you'd think. And I'm trying to get it to the point where it's going to be easily digestible by y'all, so that when we do this class, you're going to come out of the class thinking, I got value out of that. I now have a better understanding, and I can better operate my own radar. So I look forward to seeing you in the beginning of August at our regular Tuesday night chat. And I hope that you're thinking seriously about coming to one of our classes. I hope that the idea of this new radar class is exciting to you, and that that I'll begin to see some of you for that. Until then, this is Captain Frank Mummert with the Maryland School of Sailing and Seamanship, and fair winds to you all.